afternoon. Let's make our way to Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter 9. When it comes to the our focus Sundays, pastor's kind of left it open of what he wanted me to do in the afternoon. And so kind of where we've landed is forward by faith in a particular subject is kind of where we've landed. And so so we're going to be today forward by faith in our obedience is kind of our, is not kind of, it is our subject matter. It's what we're dealing with today. So in Acts chapter 9, as we'll read a few verses here, I will remind you, we'll see as we read it. But Acts chapter number 9 is where Saul is blinded by the light on the road to Damascus. And a great work is done in the life of Saul, then to be Paul. But as we look here, we're not going to deal very much with Saul or Paul. And I'm going to probably bounce between both of those. So you know who I'm talking about. Sometime I like to call him Saul Paul. So that way he was not anymore, and now he's Paul. And so we make sure we know who we're talking about. But I want to talk about a man that we see in this passage. So let's read in Acts chapter number 9. We'll begin in verse number 1. Bible says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the streets, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for the intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But there, laying await, was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. That's where we'll conclude our reading tonight. Lord, we thank you so much for your many blessings to us. God, we thank you for the services we've already been a part of. God, we thank you for the work you've done in our hearts and in our lives. And God, we pray that you'd continue to do that perfect work. God, I pray again that if anyone doesn't know you as Savior, God, I pray that today would start with salvation. God, and even the message that was preached this morning, God, I pray that the hearts that sat under the word, God, that you'd continue to work. God, I know there's probably in a crowd that size, God, there were some who don't know you as Savior. So I pray that you'd continue to work in their lives. God, we thank you for this time tonight. We pray that you would be honored and glorified in all that we do. God, we pray that you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. As we are here, we do understand that a great change happened in the life of Saul. He had obviously been persecuting Christians. He was there when they were killing him and stoning him, and also they were bounding them and imprisoning them. And obviously that God got a hold of his attention, and on his road to Damascus, his life would never be the same. And we do know that part, but what I want to focus in a little bit more is on the man Ananias. Ananias was a disciple. You see that in verse number 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And we see that this man Ananias was a disciple of Christ and was desiring to be used by the Lord. We see that in verse 10 as well. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. So we understand that his heart's desire was to be used by the Lord. The Lord speaks to him in a vision, and he says, here am I, Lord. You just use me however you will. Well, when you say those words to the Lord, he says, okay, let's do something. And so, of course, we understand that now what the Lord was asking him to do was to go to Damascus to lay his hands on Saul, who was now a great changed man. And we see that the Lord said, hey, go to Damascus, and there in the house of Judas, Saul will be there. And I can just imagine that in that vision, at that moment, Ananias is saying, what Saul are you talking about? Right? I mean, here it is, Saul of Tarsus. Lord? Well, you see this in verse number 12. I know about that guy. Lord, what do you want me to do? Well, I want you to go to Damascus. I want you to lay your hands on Saul. And I want you to be there with him. And I want you to be, and we'll see that ultimately it was going to be for him to receive his sight and that type of thing. But here it is that ultimately it was just a simple task that God asked Ananias to do. It wasn't something great. We don't see that he says, now you go down and you preach kind of like Peter on the day of Pentecost. No, he didn't ask him that, right? I mean, that would have happened in chapter 1 and 2, all right? So what it was is it's just a simple task that God had asked this disciple of his, Ananias, to do. And what we find is that Ananias has a choice to make. He has a choice to make. And so we want to break that down. And then we see in verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And so we'll see a lot of attributes that go into it. But there was some fear here, and there was some unknowns. And so when we talk about there being a lot of unknowns, can I just tell you, that's where we enter into the realm of faith. When we don't understand it all, when we can't see it, when we don't know how it'll all work out, we are now entering into the realm of faith. And sometimes we're scared to enter that realm. We like control. We like to know what's going to happen. How many of you like to read the last page of the book? Because you want to know. I got to know how this ends before I even start the book. All right? You're a psycho. All right? I'm just kidding. All right? You just spoiled the whole book. All right? That's how I look at it sometimes. But ultimately, our problem with obedience many times is because obedience will require faith. And that is where our hang-up is most of the time. Because in the grand scheme of life, many times, God is asking for us to do just simple tasks. And we're struggling with it. Why are we struggling with simple tasks that God Himself is asking us to do? Because it's faith. Because it's the area of faith. Because I don't know how that turns out. I don't know. I've heard about this man named Saul. I don't like him. He's not a very good God. I don't know if you know this or not, but this guy's been a really pretty bad guy to us. And of course, we know that God knew all of that. Now, I know that it's a simple story and it's a simple passage of scripture that many of us have heard over and over. So I just got three simple points tonight that I want us to go over. And that is, number one, as we've already stated, all acts of obedience require faith. All acts of obedience require faith. You ever give, maybe an employee, maybe your child, you give them a command that this is what I want you to do, and they ask one worded question. Hey, you've been there. Why? Can I just tell you, your kid is not answering with that question because they really want to know. How do you prove it? Okay, all right. Thankfully, we don't have to worry about this for a good few years, but someday Michael's going to come to me and he's going to say, Dad, can I drive the car? How about no? And then no. No. But he'll come and he'll ask, hey, can I drive the car? And I'll say, more than likely, no. And he'll say, why? Okay. Well, let me tell you, Michael, you see, what the deal is that ultimately, an automobile, sometimes they range in about 2,500 pounds all the way up to 18,000 pounds. I mean, they can be very heavy pieces of machinery. And because these heavy pieces of machinery have an engine in them that is powered by gasoline, that is part of a combustion engine that allows you to then push the gas pedal, that you can go incredible speeds with this item that weighs so much, and I'm just not sure that you're ready for that. And he'll say, oh, sure, Dad. Sure. Is that what he's going to say? No. No. Okay, you don't believe that why is not the question he's asking because he wants to understand. Let me say it this way. You ever tell your kid yes, and they say, why? Dad, can we go get ice cream? Sure. Why? No. He's not going to ask that question. Why? Because the question of why is his statement of, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. You see, when we're being asked by God to do tasks, to be obedient, what happens is, and what we have to understand, is that we will never understand everything prior to obeying. We're not going to understand it. Anybody been asked by God from His Word? We're not talking about some weird thing here, okay? All right, but we read in His Word, and God says, this is what I want you to do. And I'm like, oh, I'll do that as soon as you tell me how that's going to work out. That's not how it works. Why? Because it's an act of faith. When we are called to obey, it will require faith. God does not answer every question when He asks for obedience. Ananias didn't get every answer to the question. And in some ways, God didn't even answer the question. God, verse 13, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, well, Ananias, you see, you know, he's a changed man. I've done a great work. Is that what it says? No. Here's what the Lord said unto him. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, and to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. No, he maybe gave him a little piece of it, but he didn't answer all the questions that Ananias had. He said this, I told you to go, I'm asking you to go, and this is what I want you to do, go. But Lord, he can throw me in jail. Okay, and here's the answer, go. You see, all acts of obedience require faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. We know that. We've heard that over and over already. But it's impossible to please him without faith because we won't obey. Because we don't understand everything. We don't know how it'll all turn out. We don't know how every act of obedience will work out in the end. We know that all things work together for good. We understand that sometimes. But ultimately this, God asked Ananias to have faith and to just obey what he asked him to do. And Ananias had questions. Yet God's answer was just do it. Obey. Many times we have to understand that to understand, we have to obey. Not understand to obey. Now, I probably butchered that, but what I mean by that is this. I don't understand it till I do it. There are things that God has asked me to do, and he's asked you to do, that until you've done it, you don't understand it. Tithing. How does that work? God, you give me 100% of my income. You say if I give you 10% of it, 90% is going to go farther than 100%. That doesn't make sense. And I will say, you're 100% correct. It doesn't make sense. But God says to do it. And until you do it, you're not going to understand it. Well, when I get it all together, then I'll do it. Okay? And here's the problem with that. You'll never do it. Because what obedience requires is faith. Ananias, yes, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Okay? I want you to go see Saul. Oh, I didn't know. Back up there, God. Back up. I didn't know that's what the task was going to be. No, that's what I want you to do. I want you to go to Damascus. I want you to lay your hands on Saul. And I want you to go. Okay. You see, he didn't understand how it was all going to turn out. He had questions. He had fears. But yet, all that it was going to require was obedience and faith. God, this is what you've asked me to do. I'll do it. So all acts of obedience require faith. Number two is this. Small acts of obedience always precede great moves of God. I know it's wordy. Let me say it again. Small acts of obedience always precede great moves of God. Do you think that Saul is going to change the course of history from about this moment to the rest of Scripture? As I'd say it to the teens, you better bet your sweet bippy. Yeah. God is going to do a great work through this man, Saul. How do we have most of our New Testament? Through Paul. Through this man. You see, and there was going to be some great days. There was going to be some amazing missionary journeys. There were going to be churches started all across the known world at the time. And you're telling me that all of that began by just a simple act of obedience. And my answer is this, yes. Yes. You see, because in our passage, we understand, and we've already seen it, Ananias obeyed, right? But go back, so did Saul, okay? Verse 5, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Right? Both of them are exercising great faith in simple, small tasks that will ultimately lead. Listen, we could follow it, but would ultimately lead to Central Baptist Church being in Gillette, Wyoming. What? Yeah, Simple acts of obedience always precede great moves of God. Listen, we want God to do a great work through our church. If you don't agree with that, here's what I would say. We're going to have an invitation in a minute. And you need to pray about that. Okay? But our goal and our desire is for God to do a great move and to do a great work through Central Baptist Church in Gillette, Wyoming in 2026. Great. How do we do that? Well, simple acts of obedience. Just simple, small acts of obedience precede great moves of God. Here's the problem. Sometimes we want the result without the work. God, I want you to sweep into this place, and I want you to do a great work. Man, I want souls to be saved, and I want to see you do something mighty. Great. And we do, and you do. We all do. But here's what it's going to require. Small acts of obedience from all of us. When God tells you to read your Bible, that's how a great revival starts in our church. There's so many applications. We just have to rely on the Holy Spirit to make the application because there's no way that we could cover everything. Listen, small acts of obedience always precede the great moves of God. Listen, the opposite is also true. Small acts of disobedience always stop the great moves of God. Why? Not because God is limited in his power, but because that's how God's chosen to work. Don't you remember just a week or so ago when Pastor preached about Achan? Here we are, Jericho. Man, God, you're going to help us with this place. This place is ginormous. This great walled city that they're even having chariot races on top of this wall. It's massive. Lord, you're going to help us here. Oh, Ai, not that big of a deal. Oh, really? Which one did you lose to, Israel? Why? Was it something great? No. It's because one man disobeyed. So we have to understand that small acts of obedience always precede great moves of God. God is going to use Paul to do mighty work. But what preceded that was just small acts of obedience. Here it is. We're at the start of Saul Paul's ministry. At the very start. But it begins by just simple obedience. Simple obedience on Saul's part and simple obedience on Ananias' part. Now because of that, number three is this. Our obedience always affects others. Our obedience always affects others. I obviously wear glasses, and without my glasses, I can't see squat. I mean, if I take them off, that's clear right there. And everything beyond that, no, got nothing. I can relate to the blind man in the New Testament who said, I see men as trees walking around, right? Yeah, sure. But we see here that Saul's blind. He's got the scales on his eyes. He's blind. And when is the moment that he receives his sight? The moment when Ananias puts his hand on him and says, Brother Saul. It says immediately. Immediately his scales fall off his eyes and he received his sight. Ananias' willingness to obey God. You think Paul's pretty appreciative of that? Sure. Sure. Yeah. But it didn't just affect him. Ananias' obedience affected Paul. Sure. Saul's obedience to Christ affected all of us. You see, our obedience affects others. It always does. When Ananias met with Saul, immediately he received his sight. Our church will be directly affected by each individual obeying God. That is how we move forward. That's how we move forward by faith. Because in our obedience, it requires faith. I don't understand how this is all going to work out, but I'm going to trust God and I'm going to obey. And either direction, the obedience of our congregants or our disobedience will directly affect not just you, not just your family, not just your section. It will directly affect all of us. Now, I want to be very clear in this, both good and bad, okay? All right, it's, as a preacher, it's super easy to preach the negative because it's real easy. I live with me, I know my issues, and it's real easy to preach against them because I know them. But let me just tell you, listen, ma'am, sir, those acts of obedience that you're doing to Christ in the private parts of your life, in those areas that nobody understands, nobody sees those simple acts of obedience, let me just remind you, man, God keeps the record books. And he sees that and he rewards that. And so we automatically want to go, well, if you're disobeying God, then man, our church can't move forward by faith like he wants us to. And that's true. But also I want to encourage you today, and I want you to be reminded that though no one else sees those acts of obedience, God does. And he keeps perfect records and he rewards those who choose to obey him. And so I'm telling you, listen, if you don't get an attaboy from anybody here on this earth, who cares? Because the one with who it matters always sees. And sometimes we are so quick to give up on our obedience to Christ because, well, I'm just not being recognized. Man, what a terrible thing. Because at the end of the day, you will be recognized by God himself. So as the New Testament says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So those decisions that you're making in your private life to obey God, to open up his word, to have moments of prayer, to reach out to the lost, to do those things when it seems like nobody else is seeing them, I'm just telling you, hey, keep doing it. Keep doing it because it affects others. It affects others. I will remind us that to the opposite is true as well. That when you decide, no, I'm not going to do that, it affects others as well. I told Pastor that this message has been kind of, it's super simple, but many times that's the stuff I need in my life. It's not, sometimes it's not the great things, it's the small things that I'm struggling with. And I was telling Pastor that even, man, just last couple days, the Lord's been hitting me with this, that, man, just the simple acts of obedience, they affect others. And I was thinking about that. And so I wake up this morning. I wake up with my message on my mind, like literally from a dead asleep to, gotta obey God, right? And I'm sitting there. And I'm not feeling 100%. And the week's been long. And the bed sure was feeling real good right about that time. The covers were nice and warm. The buzz of the fan. The snooze of the iPhone. Yeah, it was real comfy. But even in that, I had to decide, am I going to obey God? What? You weren't going to come to church? No, I was going to be here. It was in my Bible reading. We understand that God desires his people to read his word. We know Pastor always preaches about it. Let me just tell you how we fix that. He doesn't have to preach about it if we're all doing it. And you know why preachers have to preach about it? Because we're not all doing it. So even this morning, I'm struggling with the decision. Lord, am I going to obey you or am I not? And I got to remember, it doesn't just affect me. It affects Linda. It affects Michael. It affects Andrew. It affects everybody on this side of the church. It affects everybody on this side of the church. What? You're being a little dramatic. No, I'm saying that at the end of the day, our obedience to Christ will determine whether we can move forward by faith or that we won't. I got a simple illustration and we'll be done. The only problem is this thing's heavy. All right. I got a brick here. I didn't know where to do this, so we'll do it here. All right. Now, I wrote on this brick, I put a cross. If you remember, I just read it again in the book of Mark. In my Bible reading, actually. But if you remember, Jesus has called his disciples to deny themselves, to pick up their cross, and do what? Follow him, right? Okay? So we have our cross to bear. So we put it on. All right, I'm taking off the coat. We have our cross to bear. And here's what happens. Our obedience to Christ, he says, I want you to go forward. I want you to go here. Okay, Lord. I pick up my cross. I deny myself. And I do what God wants me to do. And he says, okay. Now I want you to move forward. Well, God, I don't really know how that's going to turn out. I'm asking you to obey. All right, Lord. I'll deny myself. I'll pick up my cross, and I'll obey. And we don't necessarily understand where the destination is. And we understand as a Christian, our destination is heaven. But along the way, God has work for us to do. He's got great things that he wants us to do. And all along the way, we will have to take time to deny ourselves. To be like Ananias, who said, Lord, I know what you're asking me to do, but I got a few questions here. And God said, no, you just go do what I told you to do. Well, do you think that when Ananias touched the shoulder of Saul and Saul didn't come around and kill him or bind him, you think maybe he did one of this? Sure, sure. Okay, Lord, you were right. You did know what was going on. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Kind of know it all. Okay. Lord, well, okay. So God says, I want you to do this. So I have to deny myself, my fears, my questions, my reluctantness, you know what I'm saying there. And I have to deny myself. I have to pick up my cross. And I have to obey. That's how we move forward by faith, because we don't understand everything that goes. Can I give you this illustration? And let me tell you, this is how this goes in our lives most of the time. We come back here. And we say, Lord, here am I. I'll do what you want me to do. Okay, Lord says, do this. All right, Lord, that's easy. Sure, I'll do that. Lord says, do this. Okay, all right, we'll do that. And here's what happens. Somewhere along the way, we decide, I'm not doing that. Lord, I got some fears. I got some questions. I don't really know that that's what I want to do. And we won't obey. We don't deny ourselves. We don't pick up our cross. We don't obey. Let me show you this. This is what happens. We go around in circles. Oh, yeah, some spiritual victory every once in a while. But I'm not going to obey. And we go nowhere in our Christian life. Why? Because until we deny ourselves, we pick up our cross, and we obey Christ, we will be stuck in a rut. Let me show you. This is what happens. You see people who get saved, who are excited for the Lord, and whatever, man, you can take them through discipleship, and whatever it says, man, that's what we're doing. Man, praise the Lord, he saved my soul, man, he's worth it. Sure, whatever comes out, I read in the Bible, I'm supposed to read my Bible. Okay, great, that's no problem. Oh, pray, yeah, okay, I'll pray. Oh, I'll tithe, yeah, that's fine. But somewhere along the way, we decide, no, I'm not doing that. And what we will do for the rest of the time is struggle going nowhere. I'm telling you, I see it all the time. Well, you know, we're kind of backslid a little while, and well, okay, we're going to get some victory. Yeah, we're going to do this. You going to do what I told you to do? No, not really. Not going to do that. And we go nowhere. We don't see the great moves of God in our life. We don't see the great moves of God in our church and things of that nature. Why? Because what he said to do here, I'm not willing to do it. And I will go in circles. You ever experienced this in your life? I have. There was something very clear that God said, this is what I want you to do. And I've got my reasons. I've got my excuses. No, I'm not going to do that. Okay. You're not going any farther. Oh, sure, there might be a few moves of progress every once in a while. But let me just tell you, you're coming back to dealing with the same thing over and over and over and over again. Maybe you say it this way. Here's another way to look at it. Okay, Lord, I've learned the lesson. I'll do what you want me to do. And 2 months later, we're still doing the same thing. Okay, Lord, I'll listen. And then 2 months, we're still doing the same thing. Simple acts of obedience. What he told us to do today, do it. Now, here's the truth. The Holy Spirit is working on all of us. He's working on all of us. What he's working on you at this moment of time, I'm not sure. I'm not here to say I know that. I'm not a mind reader. But I do understand this, that the Lord is growing us, and he wants us to move forward by faith. And I know that according to his word, that he doesn't want us to just stand still. He wants us to move forward. He wants progress in our life. And what it takes is this, that I just exercise faith, and I trust him, and I do what he tells me to do. Well, Mark, I don't know what he's telling me to do. Okay, let me give you one shot. Ready? Whatever you hear in every message, in every lesson that you hear, that you keep hearing over and over and over and over again, let me just tell you, that's it. That's it. Holy Spirit works. Lord, man, it seems like every message I hear, preacher just doesn't preach on anything but Bible reading. It's all he preaches. Is that true? No. No, it's not. It's not the only thing he preaches. You know what the Holy Spirit's working on me about? Bible reading. Well, that preacher, all he ever does is talk about tithing. Have you been here recently? No, it's just every message he preached. He always talks about my checkbook. I dare say, take a real shot in the dark here. I think the Lord's talking to you about your checkbook. Well, that preacher, all he ever preaches about is about being faithful to church. It's all he ever does. Is it him? Or is that a work of the Holy Spirit? We have to decide. Am I going to deny myself, pick up my cross, and obey? And most of the time, it's just small, simple steps of obedience. But wherever you set your cross, wherever you say, I'm not willing to deny myself about, let me just tell you, that's where you'll stop. God wants more for us. He desires to accomplish more. But if we just say, I'm good right here, okay, that's it. It's as far as you're going. Could I just say it this way? Isn't God worth more than that? Isn't he worth more than that? He saved our souls from hell for all of eternity. Changed my eternal destination. But not only my eternity, and he's working in my present. He provides for me day after day after day. And here's what I tell him. Lord, I'll do that, and I'll do that, and I'll do that. But I'm not doing that. I'm not here to play a what-if game. But it's something for us to consider. What if God treated us that way? Where he said, I'll forgive that, and I'll forgive that, and I'll forgive that, but I'm not forgiving that. Okay. So here's what we're asking. Our church needs to move forward by faith. There are lost souls in Gillette and in Wyoming and in the U.S. and all around the world that need a gospel presentation. And our effectiveness as a church will be determined by each of us in our small acts of obedience. And let me just remind you, obedience requires faith. Because I don't know how it all turned out. I don't know how the bills are all going to get paid on 90% instead of 100%. I don't know how I'm going to get everything done in my week that needs to get done if I be faithful to every service of church. You just apply whatever it is and you say this, God, I'll just trust you. My brother had a stupid dog. His name was Zeus. And he was an idiot. This dog, if a box of rocks had smarts, it had a lot more than this dog. And this dog would get itself all wrapped up in a chain because it wouldn't stay in the fence. It had a fence. But the dog didn't realize, if I just stay in the fence, everything's good. So, inside of the fence, the dog had to be put on a chain. And every time we went by his house, that stinking dog was wrapped up in this chain, almost like kind of stopping itself from breathing, because it's just like, I got myself all caught up again. And every time, I'm just like, if I could somehow look at you and you could understand the words coming out of my mouth, if you weren't so unsmart, if you would just understand that you just need to stay in the fence, you wouldn't have to be on this stinking chain. And that dog went all the way to the grave. Still need to be inside a fence, on a chain, going nowhere. And I am not. Please, don't take the illustration farther. I'm not calling people stupid in here or anything of that nature. But I am saying that sometimes we are pretty silly when we're just going around in circles, and circles, and circles, and circles. All because we won't just obey. Sure, it'll require faith. If you'll just obey, if you'll obey the Holy Spirit, man, the Holy Spirit's wanting to work on all of us. Aren't you thankful that the Holy Spirit didn't dump the whole load of what needed to be changed in your life the moment you got saved? Woo, I don't think I can handle that. No, but it's a loving Savior. Who just says, here's today. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray. I want you to read my word. I want you to tell somebody about me. Okay, Lord, I'll do that. And then, along the way, the Lord says, quit drinking, quit smoking, quit doing drugs. Sure. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves down the road saying, don't even necessarily know how I got here. But I sure am thankful for the life that God's given to me. I was reminded this week from a kid on my bus. Man, the kid is small and his family is a mess. He's right in the middle of it. You know what his family needs? They need Jesus. You know what I need to do? I need to deny myself. I need to pick up my cross. And I need to say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And just don't stop. Don't stop. Lord, we thank you so much for all of your many blessings to us. And God, I pray that you'd help us. God, help us to learn to deny ourselves.